This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Thanks, Kelly. It's time for the AMI update. And this Thursday, a new episode of Our Community airs at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. It's called Sit, Set, Spike. And we're going to meet the coach and players of the Canadian women's sitting volleyball team. We're going to be joined by outside attacker. That's a cool title. Heidi Peters. Before we do that, though, let's get a preview of the episode.
It's just so fast-paced. It is very dynamic.
We are as competitive and as high-performance as any other team that is competing at the Olympics, and we want to win.
All right, fantastic. Welcome, Heidi. Thanks so much for joining us. That does indeed sound very... You guys are in competitive mode. Thanks for joining us. How did you get involved with sitting volleyball?
Volleyball's been my main sport my whole life. I grew up in a small town outside of Edmonton, and volleyball was just like the sport of my hometown, and just always loved it. I unfortunately have a below the knee amputation. I lost my left leg to bone cancer at 16, and I thought I wouldn't play the sport again. And I found sitting volleyball during my treatment through my still current teammate, Joanne Wong. And yeah, it was just, I grieved losing volleyball, and then I found it again in this really cool way. And it has become my family. It's been a community. It's been a lifeline for me, and it's an opportunity for me to play my favorite sport at the highest level possible.
You know, being blind all my life, it's amazing that I've been able to play different sports, some adapted, some just messing around and doing the best adapting we could do with them. But when you think of somebody doing a sport and the potential that it's gone, I believe it's gone. I'm new to this world of disability. I've got to focus. I've got to do my therapy. What do you mean? I could actually pick up this sport again. How powerful. That must have been incredible for you.
Yeah. Well, earlier I just said it was a lifeline for me. Literally, I think it was. It's a dream I never knew I had. I never saw myself or had the ability really to play volleyball at the highest level, like being an Olympian, even playing high performance was not a goal. And really through some foundational leadership and really strong coaches, strong staff, strong female leaders on our team, I really just saw the ability in myself, and that's really been life changer for me. Like you said, to lose the ability and not be able to play. And for me, I just kind of for a bit, I think paved my own way. Like I said, I grew up in a small town. I didn't even know that this existed. So if I can do that for somebody else, that's part of why I do what I do.
Well, it's crazy because you think how much you just played it, kicking around with the friends, everybody else does it. It's the thing. And here you are looking at going to the Paralympics. Tell us about the adaptive equipment and rules for sitting volleyball.
Yeah. So, I mean, just for starters, for education, for people, probably the biggest difference between the Paralympics and Olympics is that the Paralympics has classification systems, and each sport has their own classification for determining the types of abilities and disabilities and impairments allowed to play in those sports. So for sitting volleyball, we have two classes, a more disabled and less disabled. Those are really not proper terms, but that's literally, unfortunately, what the classes have been called. And so for us, people are familiar with volleyball, but sitting volleyball is smaller court, lower net. The net's just over a meter high. Still six people, three contacts, the same general concept, but you can block serves. Your butt cannot come off the ground when you contact the ball. And you're allowed to touch most of the net except the top tape. So a few different adapted rules, but basically the same concept as volleyball. And in terms of equipment, you can see in these clips that a lot of us are below lower body amputees, and we're not wearing our prosthetics when we play. So we're not allowed to. If you are a upper body amputee, you are allowed to wear a prosthetic. That girl that just got blocked in the US plays with an arm prosthetic.
And are you sitting on floor? Are you sitting floor? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're no adaptive equipment. We're not allowed to have any padding, in our shorts, anything that could make us taller in our torso height. Yep. No adaption. People we say we play sitting volleyball. They're think the net's the same height, or we play in a wheelchair. They're oh, that sounds really boring. I'm no, we literally just sit on the ground.
I was going to ask you about that. Maybe, do you want to describe a little bit about, what was going on in that game, that clip we just watched, or more to the point, what described like the vibe. You described it as very competitive. How do you kind of, how competitive are you guys?
Very. When I joined the program in 2013, we were definitely in a rebuilding stage, and I believe we were maybe even like 16th in the world, maybe 13. And we've gone from 11 to 9 to 5 or 6 to 3, and now we're first in the world. So we, there's a lot of like stagnancy like in rating and like ranking. So a lot of programs haven't like shifted over the years, but like our program has through a decade of being on this team, we've gotten to become first in the world in the ranking. So that's
incredible.
It's incredibly competitive. And
talk about the court size. I'm just trying to picture this because I mean I've watched on the Paralympic channels, you know, during the games and stuff. I've watched the sitting volleyball and I not knowing how wide and how, what's the distance between the teams?
Right. So the depth of each side of the court is 5 meters and the width, the antenna to antenna, is 6 meters. In comparison to an indoor volleyball, each side is 9 by 9 meters, just to kind of put that in perspective. The width is the exact same width as a pickleball court. We're actually practicing on a pickleball court here. We just they added an end line for us to make it the right size. So
awesome. That's great. Communication. How important, what kinds of things, because, you know, as we listen and we hear the energy and stuff like that between you guys, how much noise does it matter? You know, you're carrying, what is that like?
It's, volleyball is an incredibly communicative sport. You have to be talking all the time. It's a little different than basketball or like contact sports. I'm glad I don't play a contact sport, but it is a constant communication and it's an incredibly tactical and strategic game. So there's a lot of opportunity between plays and in plays to be just constantly communicating information. And in a practice setting, that also happens. It happens probably at an increased level because we're working on skills and we're working on tactics. There's so much communication going on. And I mean, from a kind of top down level, like our coaching staff, just, we have such a foundational level of trust with them. They are the mantra, you'll hear it in the documentary or in the episode, but our coach just always says, people want to know that you care before they care what you know. And she really like embodies that in the way that she's approached the program and approached our team. And she's just built that foundation with us. And we've built that with each other. You also hear in the episode that we genuinely like each other and like hanging out off court. So we are really just like a family, and that just builds another level of ability to hold each other accountable and push each other on court. So
that definitely makes all the difference. Let's talk about that documentary, getting the team in with their gear, the cameras and lights, and filming the practice. What's that like? How does that kind of affect the pressure, the vibe on the games?
These clips are, I believe, the second time that exact film crew had come out, so we were familiar with the people and the bodies, and that was not a totally unfamiliar thing to us, but it definitely adds a little bit of pressure and just like excitement. I think more excitement. We're just really passionate about sharing our sport, sharing Paralympic sport, teaching about sitting volleyball, and it's just more exciting than anything to have a platform willing to platform us.
Wow. And for people to understand, because as I said, I've seen, but to understand even the talking, the strategy. So first of all, congratulations to you guys securing your spot at the Paris Paralympic Games, of course.
Thank you.
Energy on the team, we know, is incredible. Can you share something with us at all about your qualifying win at the Cup, at the World Cup?
Yeah, it was awesome. I love qualifying games and qualifying tournaments. That's an extra special level of stress. A lot of the clips in the episode are from our zonal event here in Edmonton that we hosted. And unfortunately, the USA won that bid. They beat us in that tournament. And that was really hard. But qualifying in 2023 was our goal. And we knew we were going to the World Cup in Egypt in November. So we had just like ballpark 6 months to prepare. And it was a really hard tournament in terms of like logistics and food and like getting sick and just like timing of things. Like, it logistically was a challenge, and I rallied like we never have. We're like taking Imodium and like doing all the things. Like, just, it was like everything you don't want to happen.
Yes.
And that, if anything, brought us closer together. And we just, yeah, meetings every day, team meetings, video, just like qualifying and winning was our goal. So we beat Germany in the semifinal to qualify. And we had previously had that set up for us a little, quote unquote, easier, a better pathway, because we beat Brazil in one of our preliminary games. And that was a huge win for us to set us up for a better path. And yeah, beating Germany in that semifinal, it was hard. They were up on us in the third set, I believe. And yeah, our coach was like, this is going to be the hardest set of sitting volleyball you've ever played. Like mentally, like it's just
playing sick.
And it was, yeah, mentally, physically tired. And the clip at the very end of the episode shows us qualifying. And it's just like literally like 100 pounds come off of you. And then you just feel that way for a couple hours. And then it sinks in. You're like, we're going to Paris. And then it just like sets back in. You're like, now my goal is jumped up. So, yeah,
I guess that's something that people don't often think about, is you've got the usual games, you have to be like at your top, but there's all this other pressure, travel and time zones and accommodations and whatever to deal with. Really quick, anything you're doing in particular to prepare, train for Paris that maybe you wouldn't normally be doing?
Not anything that we normally wouldn't be doing. We are going to a tournament. It's called Super Six, the second week of June in France, not in Paris, but in France. And then another tournament in the Netherlands the first weekend of July. So we're going to Europe 3 times in like 2.5 months.
Wow.
So that's, you know, I'll be really, really acclimated to the time change and learning how to do that. But nothing out of the norm, if anything, just more. I'm really fortunate to live in Edmonton, which is our main training center, and our staff all lives here, and our head coach and some of my teammates. So I'm a student, so I'll have the summer off, and I'm really fortunate to have the ability to practice full time, basically.
Fantastic. Sounds like a lot of pressure and a lot of fun too. We're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Watch the episode.
It's going to be this Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on AMI TV. Set Spike. That was Heidi Peters.
What I love is people getting to learn about a sport that we know doesn't get enough attention. We're always talking about the certain ones that do when it comes to the Paralympics. Absolutely wonderful to learn. And folks, do check that out.
Hi, I'm Jenny Bovard. Join me monthly for Low Vision Moments, where I speak with awesome guests about some of the amusing things that happen when you're blind or partially sighted. Watch on YouTube or download Low Vision Moments from your favorite podcast distributor.